All right, again, thank you for being here. Keep your Bibles open to Joshua chapter number 23. We're going to look at that and probably a couple other verses in the book of Joshua this morning. And so let's leave our Bibles open there. Of course, last week we revealed our theme. Our theme is, now is the time. Now is the time. We talked about the thought that, you know, it's important for us to understand our times because we live in unprecedented times. You know, if you look around, everything is negative. They can take something good, you know, and despite this or that, this something good happened. It's things that have no bearing upon it. We live in time of really of incomprehensible evil. And we've just basically bought into it, and it doesn't even bother us anymore. And just darkness all around. But for the believer, we don't have to look at life that way. We can, despite the negativity, we can see the way of encouragement that God gives to us. Despite the evil, we can stand and be a light. We have so much to be thankful for if you're a Christian. You're saved. God desires to bless you. God has a purpose for your life. You can have good, godly friends that encourage you, and you can have joy despite whatever is going on. So I mentioned last week, the only problem for us as Christians is when we allow all of the good things that God gives to us to deaden us to the fact that for those that don't know the Lord, they don't have that. And so we can live complacently in our own little world when we have the answer for this world. We don't want to be like that. Last week we talked about making sure we could tell the time. This morning I'm going to talk about something that we need if we're going to understand our times and live in a manner that God would want us to live in the times that we do. You know, by nature, man is fearful, right? One of the key phrases in the Bible is the phrase, fear not. God understands that we are fearful, and he has to constantly remind us, hey, don't be afraid. Now, someone has said that there's 366 times the Bible says fear not, and one for every day, including leap year, but that's not true. Okay. I looked it up. Now, the principles of not fearing are there. But the phrase itself, fear not, is mentioned 70 times. By the way, that's a lot. If God says something in the Bible one time, it's a big deal. If God mentions it over and over, that means it's a super big deal. The phrase, be not afraid, is mentioned 29 times. And the word fear is mentioned 400 times. Why? We have a tendency to fear. If we fear, but it's not in God's mind, if we fear, it's if we let fear control our actions. God tells us to fear not because we will. But fear is only really a real problem when fear is controlling our actions. We've all heard of the Impala, not the car, the animal. The Impala can jump as high as 10 feet. And it can jump a distance of 30 feet, but they have a weakness. If you go to the zoo and look, they will be kept in the enclosure by a 3-foot wall. The reason being is, although the animal can jump high and can jump far, it won't jump unless it can tell and see exactly where it's going to land. And so they create it in such a way that the animal can't tell where it's going to land. Therefore, it doesn't jump when it can very easily get out of there. Why? They're fearful. Now, what is the opposite of fear? Courage. Courage. And we're going to see this morning that it takes courage to live for God. In Joshua chapter 23, we're coming to the end of the book of Joshua. Joshua is getting near to the time of his departure, the end of his tenure as leader. He had taken over for Moses. He had brought them into the promised land. Moses had taken them through the wilderness, and God was not going to allow Moses to go into the promised land. The promised land was God's place for them. That is why God brought them out of Egypt, to take them into the promised land, to go from Egypt to the promised land is about 10-day journey, give or take a few days. And they got stuck for 40 years because of fear. And so God brought Joshua their way to bring them to the promised land so that they can enjoy the blessings that God wanted them to have. But if they were going to be successful and go into the promised land, there is an ingredient that they would need, and that ingredient was courage. But what is courage? We understand, you know, courage is acting despite having fears. But God gives us a really good definition for Christians of what courage really is. And so you can measure your amount of spiritual courage if you look at this. Look at Joshua chapter 23 and verse 6. Here's the definition. He says, "Be therefore very courageous." And he tells them what it is and why. "To keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses." Do you see what he said there? He says you need to be courageous. You see, Joshua's going to be off the scene. They have already really settled most of the promised land. He divided the land amongst the tribes, but there were still some battles to be fought. And they would also need to be careful once they settled the promised land that they continued to follow God or else bad things would happen. And so he's telling them these things because he's going to die. He's going to be off the scene. And he tells them they're going to have to be courageous if they're going to do that. And he defines being courageous as being obedient to God's laws. That's what courage is. He had already told him that. Turn back to Joshua chapter number 1. Take a left, go back 23 chapters, and you should get there. Joshua chapter number 1. This is right before they're ready to come into the promised land. God had brought them now. Moses was gone. The 40 years was over. The generation that did not want to obey God and go into the promised land, all of those over 18, they're all gone. And now it's this new group. And so God is preparing Joshua to be their leader. God is preparing Joshua to take them into the promised land. Look at verse 6 of chapter 1. He repeats these things. "Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance for the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give it." Because you need to be strong and courageous. You got a job to do. Verse 7. "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mightest observe to do according to all the law." And then he talks about it. Verse 8, he talks about how if you will have a relationship with God's law, you'll talk about it and you'll think about it and you'll meditate on it, that you'll be successful. And then he reiterates it again in chapter 9, in verse 9. "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage." Now, let's think this through before we move on. They weren't going to a Bible conference. They weren't starting a church. They were going into a land where they were going to have to physically fight and battle an enemy. And God says, if you're going to win these battles, here's what you need to do. Be strong and courageous and obey my word. Make it a part of your life and do what it says, and you'll be successful and you'll win. Where's the guns? Where's the military plan? They didn't have guns back then, okay? They threw rocks. God didn't talk about that. God just said, look, do what I say, obey my word, and you're going to win this battle. Don't worry about it. And he says, but you need to be strong and courageous. It's amazing that at the end of Joshua's life, as he is moving on, and they still have some battles to face, and they still have to make sure that they stay pure in the land, that Joshua gives them the same message that God gave him before they went into the land. Why? Because Joshua understood that it works. Do you understand this? Disobedience is easy. Doing my own will is easy. Following a crowd and not wanting to stand out for my faith is easy. Embracing the world and not causing a ripple, that's easy. But the consequences are hard.
Amen.
On the other side of the coin, obedience is hard. Amen. It's obeying God and receiving God's will, not rejecting it. It's obeying God and rejecting the crowd. It is obeying God and refusing everything our society throws at us, which is contrary to his word. But the reward is easy. The point is this: courage is expressed in obedience. It takes courage to be obedient to God. That's why you can say, how courageous am I? Well, let me ask you this. How committed are you to obeying God? How committed are you to following his word and letting it direct you in every area of life? It takes courage to be obedient, and it takes obedience to be courageous. So now is the time. How does that relate to it? Because if we're going to live as a Christian in the times in which we live, we need courage. And courage is shown forth in obedience. So there are six areas. Now don't do the math. We do this every week. Okay, 6 points. It's 11:15. If it goes 4 minutes, man, lunch is going to be late. Just calm down. I'm hungry too. So let me give you these six areas where we need the courage to be obedient. First, we need the courage of obedience to strive. Look at verse 6. He's just telling them, it's time to go forward. He says, be ye therefore very courageous. What is that all about? They were going to have to fight to finish getting all the rest of the land that God had given to them. They were going to have to fight to make sure that they did not get influenced by the nations that lived around them. And so God says, you need to be courageous. You need to go forward. You see, the promised land was a place of God's blessings, but was also a place of battles. Amen. We don't understand what courage really is. You know, well, I'll just follow the crowd. It doesn't take any courage to do that. Amen. It takes courage to reject that influence. Amen. We think that courage is standing with society. Every athlete, every actress, actor, they'll all get up and stand for whatever it is the world's pushing. None of them have the courage to get up if it's wrong and say, hey, this is wrong. Because they know what's going to happen. They're going to get canceled. They're going to get silenced. They're going to lose their livelihood. Okay, it doesn't take any courage just to get up if everybody says, you know, the sky is blue and it's cloudy. They did a study one time. And they put these people in a room, and they drew two lines on the board, and they one line was smaller than the other, not just a little, noticeably. And what they did is the first person, they said, okay, I want you guys to go up and point to the shorter line. And the first person was someone they staged, and he went up there and he pointed to the shortest? I forget which one it was. And he pointed to the longest line and said, what do you think we are, idiots? This is obviously the shortest line. We're not stupid. You have to be a dummy not to figure that out. And he wouldn't sit down. The next person came up and they're like, yeah, that's the shortest line. Why? They didn't want to be stupid or dumb. It took like five or six people before the one person got up and said, that one's the short one. You know why? We don't want to stand out. But if we're going to be courageous, we have to make sure we're just following God. You can measure your courage by measuring your obedience. By the way, they'll tell you you're weak if you're a Christian, right? I remember when I went to church, I really liked it because I didn't grow up in church. I never went to church. And I thought, you know, Christians are these little sissies and all this stuff. And I didn't have anything to do with it. And then I went to church and Pastor Black got up. An ex-boxer. Okay. By the way, guys, Bible study at my house next 7. You know what that means, next week. But he got up and he said, listen. He goes, when I was a new Christian, I didn't need to. I took my Bible to work with me. And he said, some guy walked up to him and said, you sissy, you have to carry that Bible around with you. Now remember, ex-boxer. He said he took the Bible, thumped the guy in the chest and said, if it's so easy, you carry this thing. If it's so hard. And the guy's like, exactly. Look, to be a Christian, I'm not saying you need to act like that, okay? Well, you know, I'm not necessarily against it. But I'm just saying, look, it's easy. It's easy to be disobedient. Listen, we got to keep going forward. Others will notice what we believe. Obedience bothers us because it plays at our two greatest fears. We don't want to stand out in a crowd, and we don't want to be unpopular.
Amen.
Poor Noah. He was both. Noah had to build a boat for 120 years. People are looking like, what are you building a boat for? Then he had to preach about rain and judgment. And they're like, what's rain? By the way, that's what you all been saying the last couple weeks. What is this stuff falling from the sky? It's called rain. And by the way, we're not building an ark. It's all good. Okay? But could you, both of those things. He wasn't popular because of his message, and they thought he was a nutcase, and because he was standing out, because here he is building this ark. But you know what the theme of Noah's life is? Obedience. You just read through those chapters, and God said, do this, and Noah did it. He did whatever God said. Secondly, if we're going to be courageous and obey, we need to submit. Look at verse 6. What are we courageous for? To keep all that is written in the book of Moses. You see, the problem is we're never going to be courageous enough to obey what God says if we don't believe it. And you can say you believe God's word, but that's just this. It has to be shown in the way that you live. You only really believe something if you allow it to dictate the actions in your life. It's just words. I believe God's word, and yet we won't do what it says. How come? We don't submit to it. Our belief in God's word is only as strong as our commitment to obey it. And by the way, once that's settled, we'll be more than willing to submit to it. James tells us that submission is fundamentally important. In James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, he says, submit yourselves therefore to God. And then he's going to mention some other things. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So if we submit ourselves to God, those other things are naturally going to happen. We will resist the temptations of Satan. If we're submitted, we will draw close to God because we want to be close to him and we want him to lead us. And if we are submitted, we will do what he says, which is live a clean life and be focused on him. Everything in the Christian life is pretty simple. It's related to submission. Who's in control of your life? You or God? Well, God's in control of my life. Okay. How do you make your decisions? How do you determine your actions? How do you determine what's going on in your life? All of that stuff. Is it all related to God, or is it just like, I believe the Bible, I go to church, I even carry a Bible to church, but when it push comes to shove, I make my own decisions. Then you're not submitted. See, we talked last week. Some people surrender to God. What it means is God, they find something out that they know God wants them to do in their life, and then they struggle with it, and they fight with it, and eventually say, either I'm not going to do it, or I'm going to surrender to it. I prefer submission. Submission means I've already decided ahead of time that I'm going to do what God says, and so when I find out what God wants me to do, I'm in. I don't have to be talked into it. I don't have to be forced into it. I'm in. And so God wants us to be submitted for him. I remember very distinctly in my life, and I've told the story, I'm not going through my testimony again, but I was living for myself. I was saved for 2 years, and God was dealing with me, and I went to church a month of Sundays, Sunday morning only, and God was working in my heart, and I remember making a decision. I'm like, you know, am I going to be serious about this, or am I not going to be serious? And if I'm not going to be serious, then let's just drop the whole thing. And I remember making that decision. You know what? I'm going to go 100%. I'm not going to play around. I'm going to be serious. By the way, that's just kind of how I am. I don't like just, if I'm going to do something, let's do it, right? I don't want to just be half in and half out. So I'm like, I'm in. And that's when my life started to change. But it was a decision for me. Maybe you've never made that decision. And you take everything that you hear from God on a it's almost like a case-by-case basis. Okay, here comes this. Am I going to do it or not? Nah, just submit. If God said, that was weak, just submit. If God says it, it's best for you. Just do it. Thirdly, to stay. To stay. Verse 6 continues on. That you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. Now, we hear the phrase like, stay in your lane, right? It's usually when someone's trying to meddle with you. It's like, hey, bro, stay out of this. Just stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Stay out of my lane. Stay out of my stuff. But if we're following God and that's the path in our life, he's saying, keep going to the path, go to the end, don't look to the left, don't look to the life, don't get distracted, don't make a wrong turn. And by the way, on the path of living for God, there's a lot of good detours. Satan's throwing stuff all the time. And you're going to have to decide, I'm not looking that way, I'm not looking that way, I am going straight down the line. I am not going to change. I am going to keep going. I'm going to avoid the detours. I'm going to avoid the distractions. Obedience should not be a singular action that we take in a moment. It should be the result of a mindset of commitment for a lifetime. We don't like that. Are you with me? And I'm not plugging if you have had issues in your past, but isn't that what marriage is? It's supposed to be a commitment of a lifetime. What happens to us, we get married, the honeymoon, it's all good, and we're joking around here, but the honeymoon gets it's over. Now, I don't mean that in a negative way, but that freshness and the newness, and oh, it's all great, someone to cook for me, and then it's like, you know, whatever. You know, it's over. And the commitment keeps the love. Well, if I love her, I'll be committed to her. I prefer it the other way. If I commit to her, then I'll love her. Because your emotions are all up in the air. It should be a lifetime commitment to one another. And the same thing should be true of our Christianity. That should be a lifetime. It should be, Lord, I'm on the road. Nothing is going to pull me to the left. Nothing is going to distract me. I like the phrase I heard years ago. Your Christianity should be measured in decades. Well, I've been serving God for 2 years. Let's keep going. Where are you going to be in 10 years? What do they tell us? The average church member lasts 7 years. And it's not because they're going to another church. It's because they typically quit on God. Let's beat that. In the Bible, people were distracted. Demas was detoured by the world. Peter was temporarily deterred by his fear. David was deterred for a while by his flesh. And Saul permanently, like Demas, was detoured because of his pride. Let's make sure we stay right. Staying faithful doesn't mean that you will not face difficulties. You don't let them stop you. You've heard the story. Thomas Edison invented the light bulb because he found the filament that would not burn out. It took him over 10,000 times. He tried all these different things. And they ask him, he goes, didn't you get discouraged? He goes, nope. He goes, every time something didn't work, I'm like, I just discovered another way it doesn't work. He just kept looking. We get discouraged way too easily. Fourthly, we need to be courageous to obey and to separate. Verse 7. Here was where they were really going to get in trouble. That ye come not among these nations that remain among you. Now there was some of the nations, they were heathen. And that were there that they were to drive out because that was their land. But there was always going to be people around their nation. And by the way, when we think of them, God's like, look, one of the things he told me, he said, don't intermarry. Because he knew if they intermarried with the other nations, they would eventually start worshiping their gods. By the way, that's what happened to Solomon. Solomon married all these women, the wisest man in the world. I don't know how someone can be wise if they have way more than one wife. That's not wisdom. That's ignorance. And he turned from God. They turned his heart to these other false gods. And by the way, it's not like, well, you know, I'm going from one church to another. The idols that they worshiped in those days were immoral and evil. It involved everything from child sacrifice to stuff I could not mention in a mixed crowd. And God said, I don't want you involved in that stuff. You have to be very, very, very careful. In other words, what God is saying, really, I want you to make sure that you are not influenced by people around you and that your desire is to follow me. To follow me. We're not against people, but I'm not going to let anything distract me from God. And that's what happens. The greatest way that being careful about what influences us is that it strengthens our relationship with God. We know the verses in 2 Corinthians, come out from among them. And he says, what fellowship? He goes, light with darkness, Christ Belial, and all these different things. And he says, stay away from that. You got to be separate. And he tells us the reason why at the end of the chapter. He says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and, verse 18, will be a father unto you. You say, I thought I was saved. I thought that made God my father. But are you allowing him to father you? Father's not just a title. By the way, we could park there in our society. Just because you have a kid doesn't make you a father. Okay? Animals can get pregnant. Animals can have children. Father means it's an action. It's something you do. And God says, I want to be your father. I'm here. But if you don't allow me that place in your life, you can go your own way. And he says, if we're very careful about what influences us, we'll go the right direction. Remember, when we are going away from something, it's so we can go towards something that's better. Right? Like if I'm going on a trip from L.A. to Santa Clara, when I leave Los Angeles, the farther I get from Los Angeles, the closer I'm getting to Santa Clara. And so I'm purposely taking myself away from things that are harmful in my relationship with God so I can head better in my relationship with God and not be hindered. Next, to stand. Verse 7, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves down to them. He's saying, listen, anything that has to do with the false gods, stand up against it. Amen. Don't bow down to their nonsense. Don't talk about their God. Well, what happens if other people around me are bowing and making mention of their God? Don't hear it. Don't go near it. Don't you bow down. By the way, we don't want to stand. That's why we don't want to be obedient. We don't want to stand out. We don't want anybody to know who we are. You think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They built a false idol, and it's like, get down. Bow right now when you hear the music. I'm throwing you into the fire. Can I just tell you something? They were not the only Jewish captives there. They were the only three that had the guts to say, I'll go to the fire before I bow down to your false idol. By the way, they didn't pick that fight. They didn't want that fight, and they weren't rude. When they went to King Nebuchadnezzar and said, look, We're not gonna be careful and hide our beliefs to you, but whether God protects us or lets us burn up, we're not doing it. And guess what? They didn't do it. God protected them. And they even said, even if God doesn't protect me, I'm not gonna do it. We just don't bow down. You know, I don't know if you noticed, but in the Olympics, I don't really watch them, but used to when I was younger. You know, when all the countries come in, they have a tradition. The countries coming in would dip their flag in respect to the host nation. Everybody did that. In 1908, one of the American guys carrying the flag said, I ain't dipping our flag for anybody. He said, nope. He goes, America doesn't dip to nobody. That was not really what they did every time until 1936 when they went to Nazi Germany and his racism and all of his nonsense, and they made it a stand like, we're not dipping you nothing. And it kind of just became who we are. Now, a lot of other nations are doing it now, but I kind of like that. That's not disrespectful, just that we believe who we are and we're good with who we are and you're good with who you are. We ain't dipping. But Christians do that all the time. Well, you know, just kind of back off a little bit. Look, we're not looking for a fight, but people, we can't help anybody by hiding that we're Christians. And I'm not saying go to the workroom where you work and jump on the table like, I'm a Christian! No, you're a nutcase. Man, I don't even want to sit next to you. And then lastly, look at the time. I am doing so good. Taco Bell, here you go. To stick. Verse 8. He says, but, and here's why we really do it, but cleave unto the Lord your God as you have unto this day. You know what he's saying? We got this far because we stuck with God. Let's not give up on him now. Cleave means to stick. I ain't letting go. Fear causes many to back off of where they should be. But have the courage to stick it out. When, by the way, we all can stick it out when things are good, right? That's why the wedding vows say for better or for worse. It's like, oh man, I love the better. Well, get ready, buddy. There's a dose of worse coming. I'm kidding. I've never had any worse in my marriage relationship. I've never lied either, by the way. Stick it out. We feel the heat sometimes and we bail, right? I heard a story. There was a forest fire in Yellowstone National Park several years ago. And after they were going through the cleanup, one of the men went by and they saw an animal. I forget what it was. I wrote it down here. It was just a bird. I forget what type. And the bird was sitting there and it was charred up. It died in the fire. So, you know, they were walking around with sticks, pushing the thing. They pushed the dead bird's carcass out of the way and three babies came running out. You know what that mother did? The mother said, I'm going to stick here for the sake of the children. I'm not going to let the fire push me away because there's something more important at stake. Good. By the way, parents, if you're a Christian, don't back down to anything because your kids are watching you. Amen. But this world's watching us. Amen. And I'm not for being rude to people because, look, I can talk to someone, they can totally disagree with everything. And I'll talk to them, and I'm not going to be rude to them or hate them. But you know what they really need if we're going to make a difference? They need to look at Christians and say, I may not agree with you, but you're different. And you really believe what you believe. Because the time will come when people need help. And they know intrinsically the stuff that they're hearing on CNN and all the nonsense they're hearing at work and what's going on in this world, it's not helping. But they're not going to come to us. You know why? Because we're no different than they are. If we don't have the answers, why would they come to us? Let's be different. What does it mean to be courageous? It means we're obedient to God. By the way, if it was easy, everybody would do it. Let me ask you, are you courageous this morning? Do you have the courage to say, God, I love you, I'm going to obey you, and I don't care what comes in my life, I'm all in. Let's stand together this morning, if we may. Just for a few minutes, I want us to think about this. If we can bow our head and close our eyes for a minute. By the way, let me say this, it's an all or nothing thing, but you know, sometimes people that are courageous and obedient, they may have a moment of weakness where they allow something in that one moment to push them out. By the way, David knew what the right thing to do was, but he wasn't where he should be at the battle, and in that moment of weakness, he got caught up in something he shouldn't. You need to constantly be on guard. We saw, are you courageous this morning? I get tired of people accusing Christians of being weaklings. But the fact of the matter is, the majority of us in this country are. We are. We're afraid to be different. We try to make the church like the world so that the world will come, and they come in and they're like, got nothing different here than when I'm getting out there. Why should I come? They need us. They don't need to see Pharisees. They don't need to see people that are condemning, but they need to see Christians that believe what they say they believe enough to live it in their life regardless of what's going on around them. Are you courageous this morning? If you were to measure yourself on the scale of obedience, how courageous would you be? There's a great area where we need to be courageous when it comes to who are we going to trust for our salvation. See, the Bible tells us there's only one way to heaven. That's by trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. And that's a personal decision. How many people have allowed others to influence them or to keep them from coming to Christ? Here's the question this morning. Are you 100% for sure that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven, or do you have some doubt? Do you have any doubt at all? You say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not 100% for sure if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. I have some doubt. I'd like to get that settled. I'd like to find out about that. Pastor, would you pray for me? With nobody looking around, just raise your hand real quick and put your hand down. I'll pray for you. Anybody like that at all? See that hand, I will pray for you. Let's be courageous this morning and do what God says. Piano's gonna play. If God spoke to you, why don't you come? Why don't you come?